Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome to The Glowdown by Breaking Beauty.
Our mid-month episode featuring breaking beauty news, what products we're loving
and not so much,
plus insider celebrity hair and makeup tips.
And the trends that are blowing up our DMs, we've got the hot takes coming right up.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Glowdown by Breaking Beauty.
Hey, Joe.
Hi, Carlene. I just want to remind everyone to join our Facebook group. It's our closed private group. There's lots of fun bonus content in there, pictures from events that we go to. People are sharing product recommendations, and we just really love that it's like a safe space to talk about things we're loving and what you guys are loving and guests you want to hear from.
And we love to jump in there and chat with you.
Yeah. And another thing that we wanted to just, I guess, give a little bit of shameless self-promo. We had a fun little write-up in Well and Good about some beauty podcasts to check out. So that was really kind. Thank you for that. And I feel very fortunate to have got back in the studio with you, Carlene, because you've been otherwise occupied for the last several months.
Not just
because you're a mom of two kids, but you've had another passion project on the go. What, you know, launching one side hustle wasn't enough. You needed another one. So what have you been doing? Let's tell everyone.
Well, I love our podcast, Breaking Beauty, and we'll continue to be working on that. However, I also launched a side project, which is a new website called thebeholder.com. So just to clarify, it's not spelled out properly. I wish it was, and I'm a promoter of things spelled properly. However, hashtag domain name problems. So it's the and then beholder, BEHOLDR.com.
I'm glad you spelled that out for people. Vowels are really hard to come by in 2018 on the interwebs.
100%. So it's a website for women over 35, like myself, who have just been feeling like they're is kind of a dearth of content out there.
Dearth? What does that mean?
A lack, a big gaping hole. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. And yeah, I just really felt like we are a group of women who should have a voice and a space to be able to talk about the types of stories that we are interested in. I just think that, like everybody, we want to be inspired by faces and bodies that somewhat resemble us.
Yeah.
We want to feel like we're part of the gang.
Yeah.
So I'm creating our own gang.
Your own girl gang.
Yeah.
Well, I think what sets it apart is really the visuals. So you've got like really cool videos on there, a lot of original photography, which we just don't see a lot of. And you've got beauty and fashion stories and some lifestyle.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the cocaine and kale story.
Yeah. So there is definitely going to be some beauty and style, but as well as just general life stuff. So that was a story produced as an as told to that
this I just is the cocaine and
the
kale.
The cocaine and kale.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, what is that? Well, it's not
about Carlene. I actually will say, I will vouch for you.
Thank you. So it's really just about, a dual lifestyle that exists, for a lot of people where they might be super adamant about what they're putting in their body. Mm-hmm. All the food that they want to eat is organic and, you know, maybe gluten-free and cruelty-free and all vegan and that kind of stuff. And then they just rage on Coke on the weekends.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I've talked to people about the story, they're like, I know so many people like this. And I'm really interested in those untold stories.
Yeah.
And I was interested in exploring what that was about. And the person who I interviewed was very generous and honest. Mm-hmm. And I just think that always makes for a good read and a good something to think about.
Yeah. Now, what about the beauty and fashion stuff? What are you talking about on there? Because we've got some beauty lovers listening to the show.
Stories that I'm personally interested in for my own skin at the age of 42 and that my friends around me are interested in reading about. Mm-hmm. So whether it is products that work really well toward adult acne or to hydrate wrinkles or tried and true ingredients that like our mothers have been using forever and now it's being improved or is sort of like in the ether again. Mm-hmm. I wrote a story about honey that would be an example of that. And we're also going to be tackling stories about things like Botox and tummy tucks, which all my friends ask me about all the mm-hmm, time. Mm-hmm. Because, again, as that other example, like we are contradictory people.
Yeah.
You know, we want to be body positive. We want to accept everything about ourselves. Mm-hmm. But we also want to be real. Like as long as people are curious about that, then I want to write about that.
Mm-hmm. So check it out, guys. Yeah. Beholder.com. There's also, you've got Instagram, which is Beholder_World, right?
Yeah. And same thing on Twitter.
Check it out, guys.
Thank you.
But I think even people who are not over 35 are going to love the content. Honestly, just for the photography alone, you guys have to check it out. It's really great. So moving along, we went on a Breaking Beauty on location. Yeah. And we did a really fun little respite from the Canadian winter. We went to Bahamas for a couple of days mm-hmm. to learn all about the new Neutrogena and Aveeno launches. Now, every single year, I'm like, I think this is just every beauty editor's quest, looking for that perfect SPF. Mm-hmm. So you want to have the protection, but you don't want the hassle of feeling like you're wearing SPF.
So starting with the
Hydro Boost.
The Hydro Boost, sure, we can start there.
Okay, Hydro Boost SPF 50. Now, this one is a really lightweight formula. It glides on like a gel cream, almost like a lotion.
Yeah.
And it's for face and for body, I do believe. Yeah. I used it on my face. And it's water resistant up to 80 minutes.
Yeah, so it's hydrating. Yes. It has hyaluronic acid, glycerin, and vitamin E.
Yeah.
And I think that's definitely a star product. And
it's like water gel would be the texture.
Yeah, I definitely would describe it as a gel. It doesn't, didn't feel very creamy to me at all.
Or sticky.
And then another one that has been in the U.S. for a while but is just coming to Canada is the Acne Pen.
Yeah.
So that was a huge launch last year.
Just at the end of last year. So the pen, I think. So the mask, though, we saw it last year. Everyone was wearing it on Instagram. They look like stormtroopers. You guys know what I'm talking about. It's like LED light. There's blue and red light, and it kills the bacteria. I think most people, if you don't have it all over your face, you just want a spot treat. So they're launching this wand.
Yeah. And it's also another benefit is that you can use it and not freak the shit out of your boyfriend or husband. you just hold the tip against your skin for like 2 minutes. It's great for those undergrounders when you feel them coming and you just want to like put a stop to it.
You can treat it a couple of times a day. Mm-hmm. To me, it kind of looks like an e-cigarette or like a longer, slimmer one of those. Like mm-hmm. it's very discreet. And
we don't recommend putting it in your mouth, though.
No. while we were in Bahamas, mm-hmm. we were talking with our Neutrogena and Aveeno peeps. We were reminiscing about one of the previous excursions we had been on with the brand, which was many moons ago at Miraval in Arizona. It's like a wellness retreat. It's really awesome. I think it might have been one of the first press trips that you and I had ever gone mm-hmm. on, Carly. Maybe it was 2000. I don't know what year it would have been.
I don't know, but we better dig in the crates for a picture.
Yeah, I got to find a picture. I think there's a picture of us like hiking among cacti or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were talking with the publicist mm-hmm. about one of their former colleagues. Her name was Nora McInerney, and she was a beauty publicist for a short time in New York. She's just a ray of light, a ray of sunshine, and I haven't seen her in a really long time, but following her journey online because she also has her own podcast. She's moved back to the Midwest, and she's just had an incredible...
Her life took a 180 turn.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. But the reason we wanted to bring her on the podcast was we had a connection with her through beauty.
Yeah.
And we've been wanting to talk to her about all the crazy things that have happened to her and her new podcast, which is this wonderful podcast called Terrible Thanks for Asking, that's made every best podcast list. And it's mm-hmm. literally all stems from Nora mm-hmm. and she's dealing with a lot of heavy subject matter, how she gets through her days, what her beauty rituals are like now, even though she's been through a lot, and how beauty still fits into her life.
Yeah. So we're not going to give too much away, but yeah. basically, yes, Nora was a beauty publicist and left and moved to Minneapolis, and a tragedy struck her life. And she has kind of turned that tragedy into something really positive mm-hmm. where she's making a difference in other people's lives.
So without further ado, we're going to dive into our chat with Nora. We're going to talk a lot about beauty rituals, podcasting, and got a little scoop on what she's working on next. What's the second book about? How are you allowed to reveal anything
yet? Yeah, I think so. Why not? This is the first time I've talked about it. So here's the big reveal. The second book is called No Happy Endings, and mm-hmm. it is basically about life continuing. And the first book that I wrote is called Is Okay to Laugh, Crying is Cool Too. And I wrote that book in like the 6 months after my husband Aaron died of brain cancer, and my dad had died of cancer, and I'd had a miscarriage. And I wrote that book immediately. And I did that on purpose. I definitely could have waited 10 years to write it. I think that's usually what people do before they write a memoir. But I knew also that, being close to something, being in something is a perspective. Mm-hmm. It's not a very wide one, but it's real. And you don't really have the luxury of waiting to see what it all means. Like, you have to go through it. And I did want to document that because so many people every single day that you pass by are just going through it, whatever it is, not necessarily a dead husband and a dead dad, but just something. So I met my current husband, which is what he likes to be called, about a year after my first husband, Aaron, died. And I got the sense from a lot of people that, they assumed that that meant that the part of my life where Aaron was alive, that Aaron was over, right? Like that chapter had ended, and this was, a new beginning. I finally had a happy ending and a new beginning. And this second book is really exploring those like notions that I think we don't even realize we have mm-hmm. until we're confronted with them. Like this idea that it's too hard to feel two things at once. You couldn't possibly love one person without invalidating the love that you have for another, mm-hmm. That you couldn't possibly be, happy and also just devastatingly sad at the same time. And I wasn't ready for that either. I did not know that was a possibility. And so all of these feelings that I had were incredibly isolating and incredibly confusing. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be happy, and I feel guilty for that. And I wanted to be able to grieve. And I also felt like because the 1 year mark had hit, like, my grief time had expired. Mm-hmm. And for some people it had, for some people they were like, we've had enough of that, Nora, we could take a different version now. Mm-hmm. So it's that's what this book is about. This book is really about what comes after the life that you thought you would have.
So, oh my gosh, so you're getting real deep with your feelings all day long and putting them on paper.
Is it cathartic though?
I think anytime you're going through something, anything at all, like your brain sort of packages up most of it and is like, we'll give this to you later. Cause right now you just have to function. Mm-hmm. So even just revisiting, you know, the year, it's been 3 years, since Aaron died. And that feels some days like it was 1,000 lifetimes ago, and often like it was 5 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Because Aaron is still a part of my life. We have a child together. I'm staring at a portrait of us right now. Mm-hmm. That hangs on the wall that I share with, you know, Matthew, my current husband, and our children. And all of this, the impetus for all of this is that I lost Aaron, and that's even a complicated thing.
Yeah. So in Terrible, Thanks for Asking, tell us about the start of the podcast.
I mean, the podcast grew out of the first book that I wrote, which grew out of the obituary that Aaron and I wrote together the day that he entered hospice, which we did not think would be published. We were not aware that they don't fact check obituaries, but I like to share that fact with people because go write yours now and make sure it's good and that it includes whatever would make you happy to have as your final piece of work out on this earth. And Aaron and I wrote it together, and we had said, we had revealed his identity as Spider-Man, and we had, you know, given a nod to his first wife, Gwen Stefani, and it went viral, which was, I mean, the furthest thing from our intention. We had written that obituary together because I didn't want to put anything out there about Aaron, especially something so final that didn't have, you know, his fingerprints on it. That wasn't something that he had made. He was so funny. He was so creative. And we did that together, and it was sad and funny and just one of the best moments of my life and the hardest moments of my life. And it went, I mean, I don't know how to explain when something goes viral. It's such an odd sensation because, I mean, you really don't get anything out of it. you don't get paid, you know, like you don't get, there's truly nothing.
I remember reading it everywhere. I think it made the Daily Mail or something, didn't it?
Yes. Everywhere. Like it was popping up on Facebook in like languages I didn't read. So
wow.
Everywhere, like on the news, like on like broadcast news, on like the radio, on Twitter, on Facebook, just everywhere I looked, there was this portrait of my dead husband and the words that we had written together. And that was how my now literary agent found me. And she had said, you know, we should write a book sometime. And I said, what about like now? She was like, well, why don't you just take a minute and we'll regroup. And we ended up pitching a book proposal like 2 months after Aaron died. And then I finished the book 4 months after that. And so I just went for it, but that's like what I needed to do at the time. But I just started getting so many messages. And I spent a lot of time in that year after Aaron died, just stuck in my phone, just, you know, really in other people's stories and other people's experiences, because mine were too much and like too much to really like wrap my mind around. And I realized that people were emailing me or sending me a Facebook message or sending me a Twitter message in the middle of the night. And they were telling me really, really personal things that I doubt that the people in their lives, their friends and family, were hearing. Mm-hmm. Probably because they weren't asking, they never had asked, or they weren't asking anymore. And because, you know, time had passed and they thought it was over or it was the wrong thing to bring up. And, you know, they didn't want to make this person sad. There are a million reasons why we don't talk about hard things. And so their best bet for just feeling heard and feeling seen was just to tell me, to tell a stranger. Mm-hmm. And I'd reached the point where I did have to pay my mortgage, like every month. It was so rude. Ralph eats every day. It was just so bonkers to make. How have I been doing this? Like, how have adults been doing this for generations? And what can I do to make money that isn't going to a cubicle and writing tweets? Yeah. You know, Aaron was like such a creator. My dad was an immensely talented writer who, you know, graced the world with several infomercials.
And what was the one infomercial again he was most famous for?
Oh my God, so many. I'm really going to have to think. I mean, Nordic Tech. He consulted on the Shake Weight.
Shake Weight is the flab-busting breakthrough that trims your arms and shapes your shoulders at the same time. You just shake it back and forth. If you had the Shake Weight in your hands right now, you'd feel the results before the end of this commercial.
I mean, I have so many Shake Weights. Anything that is in your basement that could clean your house or make you allegedly trim inches from your hips, waist, and thighs. My dad wrote it. So.
And so you sit down to make this podcast, and then like you probably were going to probably do seasons at one point, and now everyone is just, it's on every best podcast list.
Yeah, we had intended to make 10 episodes and sort of take it from there. They had not really made a lot of podcasts with just people who had sent them a DM saying, I'd like to make a podcast and I have an idea. When can we meet? So it was kind of an unusual situation. And Hans Buto, who's my senior producer now, he's gotten a promotion. So he and I were the team. We did those 10 episodes. They started coming out November of 2016, and we're still doing it, which is so crazy.
This must feel so long ago, but when we first met you, you were living in New York. We, I think, first met either at a desk side or in Arizona at Miraval, maybe.
I think we're going to say Arizona. It's a more exciting story.
It's a more exciting story, certainly, because I was living a lifestyle, if you can call it that, wherein I shared an apartment with three other girls, and my room was basically the size of a queen size mattress. And to have a bed meant that I had to take the door off of my closet so I could access it. All of a sudden I was at a resort that Oprah had been to. And I was like, I haven't seen a single cockroach. I have been fed several meals that aren't just alcohol and cigarettes. And yeah, I was like, I'm doing yoga. This is bonkers. My lifestyle at the time was like, wake up, get a cup of coffee, go to work, stay at work for like 12, 14 hours, walk to like get a drink with friends, and then go home and fall asleep and do it again. So that was nuts. And I was with a bunch of Canadian beauty editors, including the two of you. Everyone was so beautiful and like well-dressed. And I was like, I had to dig deep to find 7 days of breakfast. Like, I had to really dig deep. That was a wonderful time. That was a wonderful
Jill time. Jill and I have this amazing memory. We call it our Oprah and Gail moment, where, what was that activity?
I think it was one of those like trust activities. It was like a harness, and we were like swinging from, it basically looked like a telephone pole, and we just had to let go. It's like a metaphor for life, you know?
Yeah. And we had to have some mantra in our mind or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I was an unlikely, person to work in beauty PR. I just didn't spend a lot of time like on my appearance, and like the girls I worked with were definitely really glamorous. And so I always felt like a little bit out of place, but I was a great person to work on it because I had my dad's genetic gift of 100% believing in anything I worked on. I to this day have a Ninja blender that my dad wrote an infomercial for. It's so loud that it upsets our children, all of them, 16 to the baby. And I'm like, this is the greatest blender that money could buy.
You have all of this, you know, history with beauty, working in it for a short time as like a beauty publicist. Like, what is your life like now in relationship to beauty? And I feel like sometimes you'll do the Insta story with like mascara testing, lipstick testing. I think you were saying something about like aggressive beauty as well.
I have extreme beauty dysmorphia, wherein like currently I look like sort of like a lab rat. I am very pale. I need a touch up on my microbladed eyebrows. My eyelash extensions are off and I'm not wearing makeup today. Truly, I love a Kardashian / Real Housewife aesthetic, even though I will wear the same like leggings to the gym and then just sort of wear them all day. Or like I'll wash my hair every 3 days, but not in like a cool, like I dry shampooed it and like it's voluminous way, just like a you're dirty kind of way. But I really admire like aggressive femininity. I really do. Like I got eyelash extensions, which were the greatest. The only reason I don't have them right now is because it requires 15 seconds of me going on a computer, consulting my calendar, and then picking a time. That's it. I got my eyebrows microbladed, which is another word for like tattooing your
face. I watched that on Instagram stories.
I love it. Even now, it's like, you know, I could use like a little bit of a touch up, but so good. I feel like at least I look pretty decent when I wake up. But the combination of that with eyelash extensions, I swear to God, I wake up looking like a Disney princess, even if I haven't slept. I wish that I would have taken such good care of myself when I was younger, but I didn't think of it as like, I didn't think of time spent on myself as time well spent. And now that I'm 35, I like love a ritual. Like I love it.
What are some of your rituals to like either unwind or just like shake off some of the really heavy shit, your content that you're producing in the run of a day?
If you aren't actually taking care of yourself, and the term self-care is so gross. I don't know why. I just don't like it. But I have like probably in the past like 4 months just really put together like ritual or habit like around the way that I take care of myself and especially my skin. I will tell you that 35 is not old. And yet you should tell my skin that because I'm like, what is happening? Like my 16-year-old stepson, he like pushed my hand, like just the back of my hand. And he goes, huh, look how your skin moves. And then he pushed the back of his and he goes, mine doesn't at all. I was like, why would you have done that?
I just did that while you said it.
No, I'm testing
my plumpness and my collagen on my hand.
I was like, what are they teaching you in biology and why did that feel necessary? Like, don't do that to me again. Or be like, wow. I mean, it's just like,
so is there like a mask that you like to do or is there like, is it bath time?
Okay. So I wake up. I also don't know how to say any words, which is why I never say them out loud, but is it CeraVe?
Oh, CeraVe, the skin cream.
Okay. So I use their basic cleanser. I used to really not wash my face in the morning. Cause I was like, I just slept. Like,
you're not the only one. Several of the founders that we've talked to have said that. And sometimes I don't either. It's winter and it's Canada and I can't afford the moisture loss. But anyway.
So I do that. And then I use like the Super Bounce serum from Glossier. Oh my God, I'm obsessed with Ordinary right now. I've bought like 100 of their things. I couldn't even tell you what I'm putting on.
They're like all the Ordinary. $9. You're like, anything. Okay.
Nobody knows. They just buy everything and layer it and see what happens.
Perfectly fine. Oh, actually, before the serum, I use Soolantra, which is like from my doctor. And so, yes, like I have a little bit of, I was getting a little bit of rosacea, which I did not know until I went to a dermatologist.
It's that Irish skin so coming back to bite you.
Very much. So that, Soolantra, Super Bounce. Then I go about my business for a little bit. Then I come back and I do the their SPF 30 moisturizer.
Good on you.
SPF everywhere. I use Aveeno daily moisturizing lotion on my entire head to toe.
EML.
Everywhere. Every day. Oh, then I take my vitamins for the day. Ritual daily vitamins, two of those. I take a ton of vitamin D, like so much vitamin D. And then now I'm taking, what's that hair vitamin?
It's on the tip of my tongue. Viviscal?
That's it. I take Viviscal. At this point, if I have my eyelash extensions I'm done. Like if they're done. However, today I mixed like a little bit of the Glossier foundation with their moisturizer, used a brush, just put it on like, I'm signaling to you. Like the from the bridge of my nose out to my cheeks and then like part of my forehead moving outwards.
You read all of the magazine tips.
I read all the magazine tips and I'm like, this is just what I do. It's very simple. And then at night I get to wash my face, which is my favorite. And I do the CeraVe. Yep. I'm going to say it yep. on CeraVe. Get at me. This is my favorite stuff. Okay. CeraVe. Then I do the Glow Tonic from Pixi, which is available at Target and is wonderful. I do that probably like 3 times a week. Then twice a week I do, it's not Retin-A.
Yeah, there's Retin-A. What's it called? The retinoid.
Yeah. I do. Maybe it is Retin-A. So I do that like twice a week. I was doing it 3 times a week and I thought my face was going to crack open.
You're like there. Yeah. It's revealing like the 16-year-old you like somewhere. It's just peeling away.
Yeah. Which I'm like, why didn't people teach me how to moisturize in high school? Like, why was that? Like my 11-year-old, she's in 6th grade. She's moisturizing
every night.
Your dad
needed to write a beauty infomercial.
He really needed to. I did have the Victoria Jackson makeup kit in middle school that was purchased off of a like Home Shopping Network or something. Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me? Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like me? Don't you? I looked like a 4-year-old divorcee in 7th grade. You know what's better than a little makeup? A lot of makeup.
In middle school.
In middle school, I was like, I had a dramatic eye in my 7th grade photos. Like, it's like a smoky eye, but it's all like burgundies. So it was very intense. Okay, so then at night, I also got this stuff called Egyptian magic. Do you know what this is?
Oh, yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah. Number one thing on Amazon, okay, I think.
Guess what? At least Americans. You can get it at Costco. And it comes with a big one and then also a little one.
And it's very chic with the magician on the package or whatever it is. What is it? A crystal ball or pyramids.
Yeah. There's a lot going on. It reminds me of Dr. Bronner's. Like there's like anything you want to say, we've got one chance to do it on the
writer's dream. Put it all on the package.
Yeah. It kind of makes me trust it more. So I'm like, these people have nothing to hide. They're like, we just want you guys to be happy.
Put it everywhere, anywhere.
Yeah. So I use that as my eye cream now. And I also use like this, one of those crystal rollers.
You have purple one, an amethyst.
Mm-hmm. So I do that. I roll like a serum, either an ordinary one or, and then after that I pat Ole Henriksen?
Yeah. I just learned that this is pronounced Ole Henriksen. Yeah, because he's from Copenhagen, you know, like the whole huggy, whatever.
Yes, he wouldn't do that either.
Yeah, Ole Henriksen.
He's got a great vitamin C, so I learned you're supposed to pat that on, not rub it, just pat it on. And then I wash my hands, and then I put on like 5 different hand moisturizers, like regular lotion, and then this lotion from Arizona. That's made, you can get it at the farmer's market, but she also sells it online. It's called Double Blessings. It's made out of goat milk. I swear your hands will be so soft. It's just regular lotion and it's amazing. It's made out of goat milk somehow. It's good. And so I do that while I lay in bed and read.
That's a good ritual.
You sounded like you were all casual, but when you said amethyst roller, I was like, oh, okay.
That's the time that I love at night, is like 25 minutes of just hanging out, looking at myself.
And do you feel like the roller makes a difference?
I do think, especially because it has 2 ends. So there's a smaller one. And I do think, especially because it sits on like my cold bathroom counter, especially doing that over your eyes at the end of the day, it just feels so good. I did recently do like actual like microdermabrasion at the dermatologist recently. It was not glamorous, but it definitely helped. It definitely helped. I love that. And I want to try microneedling. There's basically like, I don't think there's anything that I wouldn't. I think a lot of people get high like at Sephora. For me, it's like a CVS or a Walgreens, a Target. But like that's where I am really in the zone.
Okay, before we let you go, we want people to experience your podcast. And so if there's one episode that you think people should get acquainted with and or be prepared with a lot of tissues, like what do you think is one of your favorites or really represents the show?
Oh gosh. Well, one of my favorites is called Chapter 2. I love that one a lot. And oh my gosh, that truly episodes 15 and 16.
Oh my God, I listened to it.
Alone.
I want to know the update.
That's part 3 I hope will be coming, but I mean, so don't put this thing. So when people listen to part one and part two, because I do think like the Forever Alone thing too, it was important to me for me to do a story about dating and, or just like, it's so difficult. People just sort of like minimize like the search for love, which is harrowing. Okay. It's like, people just black it out. It's like once they like find somebody, they're like, oh, no, it wasn't bad. Oh, it's fine. It was fine. I'm like, no. Before I met Aaron, before I met my first husband, I walked through downtown Minneapolis bawling. You can't do that in Minneapolis the way you can in New York or Toronto. People, you don't cry in public. You don't even walk in public. It was weird that I was walking through downtown to get to my apartment. And I was just sobbing. I was like, I can't fucking do this. I can't meet anyone ever again. I just want, done. And I remember calling my best friend Dave and he was like, oh, you should be exhausted. Jesus. Like, I dated three people my whole life.
Well, thank you so much. You're the best. Oh. So much fun talking to you. Let's do it again. Let's do it live if you come on a book tour.
Oh my God, I would love that.
Okay, yes. We'll get back to writing. Yes. No more looking in shoeboxes.
And now I'm looking around my living room like, there's a pile of shit I could organize.
Thanks for tuning in. Visit breakingbeauty.ca to sign up for our newsletter, and every episode will be delivered direct to your inbox so you won't miss a single thing.
And be sure to subscribe to us. There's Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcast fix.
And if you're up for it, show your love by writing a review in iTunes.